This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Students without Wi-Fi. I'm Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka. Welcome into Memorial Day Monday, May 25. Thanks for joining us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
With distance learning in place, a technology gap has been exposed in the U.S. Hear how students and teachers adjust when there's no internet.
In addition to our colleagues, there's one thing we've really come to miss during our time away from the office.
On this holiday, how different groups around the country like the Boy Scouts are paying tribute on Memorial Day.
And if millions are out of work and the economy is hurting, why are so many people still making impulse purchases?
Because you're not going into stores, you're not holding out a credit card to someone, you're not taking cash out of your wallet, you're not actually even seeing the person deliver these items that you're ordering. It's so easy to make these impulse purchases.
Elizabeth Buchwald at MarketWatch on our new shopping behavior. One of the great aftershocks of the coronavirus crisis will be its impact on the economic trajectory and political attitudes of millennials, roughly defined as Americans born in the 1980s and early 90s. Before this, they already have lived through two major shocks, the 9/11 terrorist attacks and the financial plunge of 2008 and 9. So what are they thinking politically right now? In-depth analysis from Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. Jerry, your take.
These people are not only getting hit again, they're getting hit harder again than anybody else. And we learned in 2008, 2009, 2010 that these setbacks sometimes take years to recover from.
What does this mean politically? Because that's what so many people obviously are watching at this point.
Yeah, that is a really good question. I think it probably compels these people in this age group to, in a large part, to think even more that they need government help. So they are probably more inclined to think they need an activist government. But it also may feed their apathy about the political system. One of the things that concerns people who try to get people in this age cohort out to vote is that they feel somewhat detached from the political system. They kind of think the system has failed them. And so as a consequence, they're not as invested in the political system as you think they might be. And one of the challenges is to get people to vote. Next Gen America, which is an organization, a progressive group devoted to getting young people out to register and vote, has done some survey work and has found that 53% of the people that they've talked to say that they feel somewhat detached from the system and maybe a slightly smaller group say they're not planning to vote in 2020. And so they may plug into the system because they're angry and in need, or they may check out of the system. It's hard to know.
Yeah, I think that was the point somebody made toward the tail end of your piece, saying there's plenty of room to gripe. You have plenty of reason to gripe, but you can't sit on the sidelines and expect change.
Right, and that's what I think a lot of young people are telling each other. Now, in the moment we're in right now, a lot of these people were Bernie Sanders supporters. All the polls told you that. Bernie Sanders is gone. They seem to be shifting their allegiances to Joe Biden, the Democratic, presumptive Democratic nominee. And in our poll, our NBC News poll, in this 18 to 34 age bracket, Joe Biden leads Donald Trump in a hypothetical matchup by 23 percentage points. So they are going to be a strong audience for Democrats and for Joe Biden. The question is, and it usually is with this group, how many will actually show up to vote?
We're speaking with Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. His piece is called Coronavirus Deepens Millennials' Feeling That They Can't Get a Break. The support for Joe Biden, is that partly because Bernie Sanders has endorsed him and also partly because Joe Biden is not the current guy in the White House who, they might be holding this against President Trump just because of the timing?
Well, I think it's kind of all of those things. I mean, there is the endorsement that Bernie Sanders gave to Joe Biden was earlier and more enthusiastic than the one he gave Hillary Clinton in 2016. And so that's bound to help Joe Biden. So there is that. there is a strong anti-Trump sentiment among people in this age group by and large, not universally, obviously, but there's a strong anti-Trump current, so that feeds into this feeling as well. And there is kind of a belief that the Democrats have the answers that they're looking for on size of government, which we talked about a minute ago. There is also, though, a decided lack of enthusiasm for Joe Biden. I mean, only a little over 20% of the people in this age group said they had a really positive feelings about Joe Biden when we polled them. And so there is support for Joe Biden, but it's not enthusiastic support. And that takes you back to the question of turnout. Will people who say they're supporting Joe Biden but aren't really thrilled at it actually go to the trouble in November and show up to vote? That's that's always a question. It's particularly a question for this age group in this particular election.
Boy, one of the stats that stood out, too, that you cited, overall, just 13% of these younger Americans rate the current state of the economy as good or excellent. Was that prior to all the lockdowns?
No, that was in the midst of them last week. So, you know, you would expect lots of people to say the economy is not good, but that's even more true in this age group. And there's another factor here, which is people in the millennial age group also are less optimistic than other age groups that there will be some kind of rapid recovery from this economic hit. They have been hit hard, and they expect it to last for a while, even more than older Americans do. So they're very pessimistic. And, you know, as we talked about at the outset, they have good reason to be pessimistic.
All right. Thanks, Jerry. Jerry Seib, Executive Washington Editor at The Wall Street Journal. 12 minutes after the hour on this Memorial Day Monday. It's the question on everyone's mind. When are we going to have a vaccine? And as part of that, how can small investors get involved? Right now, investors have a unique opportunity to not only invest early in cutting-edge coronavirus vaccine innovation, but also to help move the world forward by investing in MIGVAX with our crowd. MIGVAX says it's uniquely poised to develop a COVID-19 vaccine based on previous successful experience with avian vaccines. They're now moving towards clinical trials. Our crowd is investing in the important vaccine work MIGVAX is doing and has made it so accredited investors can also invest. The crowdsourced investing platform at Our Crowd helps you invest in promising companies before they go public, companies like Beyond Meat and over 200 others. Learn more at ourcrowd.com/deal. That's OURCROWD, ourcrowd.com. Setting up your account is free. Get started right now at ourcrowd.com/deal. Thanks for spending part of your Memorial Day with us. Who's helping the frontline hospital workers like doctors and nurses to psychologically get through the coronavirus pandemic? One of the helpers is Dr. Carol Lieberman, board-certified psychiatrist based in Beverly Hills. Doctor, set this up.
The doctors and nurses and other medical personnel on the front lines are going through enormous stress because, first, in one sense, they feel heroic, you know, that this is what they trained for. They wanted to help people. That's why they became medical personnel to begin with. On the other hand, they did not foresee, none of us foresaw, the kinds of conditions that they would be working under, some of them without personal protective equipment, and all of them pretty much working around the clock. And I understand how this is, because before I did my psychiatry residency, I did a year and a half of rotating internship in medicine and surgery and pediatrics and OBGYN, and then a year of straight medicine. So I worked with patients in the hospital and in the ICU and so on. And I know just under normal circumstances, the pressure that there is. Patients coming in from the emergency room every 2 minutes. The ICU, you know, when you have a really sick patient, you don't want to leave them. You want to keep working around the clock. And yet, obviously, that is putting a strain on their health, you know, when they're already in the situation, risking their life by being so close to coronavirus patients and so on, and getting exhausted, and then feeling like they have to keep up bravado as well, not wanting to let their coworkers, colleagues down. And not wanting other people to know that they're really scared that they're going to get the coronavirus. I mean, they are such a whirlwind of emotions, and yet they are doing their best. And the hardest thing for them is patients who are dying, because coronavirus, for the percentage who go on to die, that is the worst death. because they die alone, because they're in quarantine. They can't have their loved ones near them. And that is the part that makes it the worst. And so one of the things that doctors can do to make themselves feel more fulfilled and better under these circumstances is if they are with dying patients, if they provide that patient in the last day, I mean, you don't know when the exact moment is going to be, but when they're on a dying trajectory, if you can provide them with a phone and FaceTime and get ahead of time, before it's a dying trajectory, if you can get the phone numbers of people who they want to be in contact with as they're dying, then if they can, you know, connect them to these people by phone, by FaceTime, whatever they can do, that would make an enormous difference in the lives of the people who are dying and in the lives of the medical personnel.
We're speaking with Dr. Carol Lieberman, board-certified psychiatrist based in Beverly Hills. We're talking about the help that frontline workers like doctors and nurses might need themselves in dealing with the pandemic. What kind of help do these professional frontline workers need?
Well, they need professional help. I mean, you know, that's another thing. Doctors, doctors heal thyself, right? They don't want to reach out to get professional help from a therapist, but they should. They absolutely should. And they should make sure that they are asking for help from a psychiatrist, not any other kind of mental health professional, because it's only psychiatrists who are MDs and who know what kind of stress they're going through, what it's like. You know, the medical part of it. And they should also, of course, talk to each other. But again, the bravado won't necessarily allow them to tell other doctors and nurses that they are feeling afraid. But it's okay. It's normal to feel that way at this point. And I am offering pro bono psychiatric crisis help for doctors and nurses. I am putting out that they can contact me on my email, and which is drcarol@earthlink.net, and I will be happy to offer them crisis intervention for this stressful time that they're going through.
That's Dr. Carol Lieberman, board-certified psychiatrist based in Beverly Hills. 21 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Dell Technologies has special business savings right now to help you office everywhere and stay productive. Save up to 45% on desktops, laptops, and do-it-all servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10 and save on essential electronics. All with free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Thanks for being with us. Memorial Day Monday. A new survey finds nearly half of Americans still working, 45% of them, say that they are burned out, with one in four placing the blame squarely on the coronavirus. How to help ourselves from this morning's Jennifer Koschenka.
No doubt about it, we are stressed and we are burned out. Here with some tips on how to combat coronavirus burnout is consultant Janet McKee, author of Stressless Success, The Surprising Secrets to a Life of Passion, Purpose, and Prosperity. Janet, why are we getting burned out?
We think that we're a victim of everything that's happening around us, but you have the power within you to have a better outcome. And when we stress and struggle, we're choosing that, and we're putting up walls of resistance. And when we live our day with these walls of resistance that we're fighting against, it wears us out and burns us out.
All right. How do you decrease that resistance?
Okay, so many people out there say, oh, you just need to think positively and you have to have a positive mindset. And I say that does not work in a situation like this. When we're really challenged and we have a lot of things that we're fearful about, if you try to force a positive thought, you actually put more of that fear out there in what I call your energy. And it can make the situation worse. So what we have to do is, first of all, realize that you're trying to make a leap too far, too fast, to think positively. So instead, we're going to think of climbing the ladder and choose one small thought at a time that feels better. It's the feeling that is the key, not what your head is saying. Then I recommend, as you're starting to climb the ladder and you say little things like, okay, we're all in this together, this is going to be short-lived, we're going to get through this, I'm a smart person, and you start climbing the ladder with thoughts that feel better, then walk away. When it doesn't feel better anymore, just walk away and do something that uplifts and expands the way you feel. Get outside, breathe fresh air, get with Mother Nature, walk your dog, play with your cat, dance or sing to some music that's uplifting. Do anything you can to expand and elevate the way you feel, because science has proven that's the way you feel that literally creates your life.
Janet, let's back up a step and talk about the signs of stress. How do you know that this is different, or what are the things that you're feeling that make you more stressed?
Well, you'll know how you feel, and that is the most important thing to be aware of. How am I feeling? Not what my head is saying, because your head's going in a million directions, but how am I feeling? And we know we're burned out when, even if we've had plenty of sleep, we feel fatigued, we feel anxious, we can't think clearly, we feel more edginess and maybe a shorter temper. Those are signs that are showing we're making bad choices within us.
We're speaking with Janet McKee, author of Stressless Success, The Surprising Secrets to a Life of Passion, Purpose, and Prosperity. Janet, what are the challenges of working at home and or of being laid off during this time?
Again, the challenges, sure, they're there. We're all dealing with it, myself as well. But you can focus on everything that's challenging about it and all of the issues and all of the frustrations, or you can focus on what is good. You know, many people are so exhausted, the drive-through work and the traffic and all this, and they complain to me all the time about all that they have to deal with getting to and from work and the long hours. Well, now you don't have to do that. You're home. So what are some good things that are coming from this situation? And focus on that and see how that makes you feel. When you are feeling better, even slightly, you can think more clearly. You feel more energized. And from that place, you can have clear thinking that brings solutions and opportunities to you. There are many good things that we're dealing with right now if we could just learn to create that focus and create that better energy.
Do you think there will be some long-term positives to come out of this whole thing?
So many, Jennifer. Great question. Absolutely. Think about it. Number one, we're being more aware of our personal hygiene. We're also, many of us, focusing more on our health and well-being. And research at the High Performance Institute found that the world's most successful and accomplished people know that their wellness is number one priority. So that's what you have the power to do, is start doing things to boost your immune system. Take good care of yourself. And we're learning how to deal with stress and struggle during this serious challenge.
That is this morning's Jennifer Koshenka with Janet McKee. Again, her book is called Stressless Success. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Even in tough times, you want to try to look your best, even if it's just from the waist up for those video chats. So when it comes to your facial hair, Harry's has you covered, bringing you incredibly high-quality blades at factory direct prices, just $2 per blade. Now, when it comes to my facial hair, I'm typically a goatee guy, but lately I've been using these times of home quarantine to experiment with a full beard. This has allowed the precision trimmer blade on my Harry's razor to take center stage. I use it to make sure my new beard is looking its best. Now you can keep your face looking smooth too, or your beard looking clean, with a Harry's trial set delivered right to your doorstep. Just go to harrys.com/Gordon to order yours. And get this, to help support those who need it the most right now, Harry's is donating $1 million worth of shaving supplies to hospitals across the U.S. so you can feel good about looking good. Listeners of our show can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/Gordon. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for a firm grip, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/Gordon to start shaving better today.
This is America's First News, preparing you for the day ahead with headlines and in-depth analysis. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Memorial Day Monday, May 25. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koschenka coming up this half hour. Why we're still making impulse purchases during an economic downturn. Also, what we're really starting to miss as we spend more time away from the office. And how different groups are paying tribute virtually on this Memorial Day. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Corey Shepherd teaches fifth graders in rural Alaska in a school district that's the size of Indiana. The terrain there is so rural that only airplanes and snowmobiles connect the district's 11 tiny villages. Ms. Shepherd is one of more than 7,000 teachers in her state trying to make the most of teaching her students since the governor closed schools to in-person learning to stop the spread of the coronavirus. One method she is not relying on? Online learning. Not enough students there have access. It's a story by Erin Mansfield, reporter with the USA Today Network. Erin, what are you hearing?
For a lot of schools, you know, they're able to just swiftly switch from in-person learning to online learning in much the same way that a college would. But in Alaska, and in a lot of other places, what we found was that they're not able to do that, so they have to find alternatives. In Alaska, Corey Shepherd, who teaches fifth graders, told us about how they rely on regular old telephone teleconferencing as opposed to video-based teleconferencing. Yeah. She's challenging them to go outside as much as possible.
When she challenges them to go outside, is to do what? Just to get fresh air?
To get fresh air, because even with all this, despite all the internet problems that we're hearing from teachers who are still just so worried about their kids' social and emotional health.
Yeah. But I was blown away, too, by the one example you gave. I think it was, you know, just in Phoenix, where was it three high school kids like huddled under a blanket outside an elementary school because they couldn't get internet at home. So they're tapping the elementary school's Wi-Fi sitting outside.
Yeah, that was a pretty stunning one. And in Arizona, superintendents are coming together to ask the state to create a public-private partnership. And we could see that happening a lot, frankly. The FCC has loosened the restrictions on one of its subsidized internet programs called E-Rate to allow the general public to be able to connect to the Wi-Fi at places like libraries and schools. So we could be seeing that. That is part of the solution here for trying to get kids access to the internet that they need to learn.
Speaking with Erin Mansfield, Midwest investigative reporter with the USA Today Network. Her piece is called Coronavirus for Kids Without Internet. So this dovetails kind of into a conversation about this roughly $2 trillion stimulus package passed by Congress and signed into law. There's nothing in that that would say pay some of these internet service providers to help some of these rural areas?
Not specifically. There were proposals, according to Politico, reported on some of the turnkey operations of that deal. There were proposals by the Trump administration and by the Democrats. And there has been legislation passed that helps with telehealth, which, you know, is obviously another big concern right now, people trying to get health care remotely. But in terms of what they call the homework gap, that hasn't been addressed yet. And it's possible that it could be. You know, in 2010, during the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, the Obama administration put a lot of money into broadband infrastructure. And those programs still exist. And the FCC was doing some investments prior to this. But in terms of that actual $2 trillion package, no, we haven't seen anything on the homework gap yet.
Wow. So who's helping teachers? Are some of the internet service providers doing some of that stuff?
There are internet service providers that are trying to lower prices. There are basically two situations you could find yourself in. Either the company will not run a line to your house, or the company can run a line to your house, but you might not be able to afford it. In terms of not being able to afford it, we see big companies like Comcast trying to come up with lower price options and expand speeds at existing price options. The FCC has called on several hundred companies not to disconnect and to essentially forgive people who are having trouble paying because of the economic circumstances. But the gap that still remains are the houses that simply cannot get that infrastructure run to their house.
Yeah.
That is the big one. The FCC estimates there are about at least 21 million people in that situation. And then when we add affordability and other issues, that number goes up.
Thanks, Aaron. Aaron Mansfield, Midwest investigative reporter with the USA Today Network. How about a school district the size of Indiana inside of Alaska? It's 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you're with us. Welcome into Memorial Day Monday. Despite the fact that consumer sentiment has taken a huge dive and some 36 million Americans have filed for unemployment, nearly one in five people say they're spending more money now than before the coronavirus outbreak hit. Elizabeth Buchwald, reporter at MarketWatch, has a look at a new survey and reasons for our behavior. Elizabeth, what's going on?
So essentially what's going on here, and we saw in the early stages of coronavirus back in March, there was this rush to stores like Costco and Walmart. You were stocking up on the essentials. There was this fear that if for some reason you get this virus or someone in your family gets it and you can't leave your home, you want to have all those things that you would need to get by. So that started to go down a bit. Foot traffic was down at those types of stores. And then came this wave of comfort buying. So what that means is essentially you're sitting at home. Actually, a lot of people we know are out of work, about 33 million Americans, and you're scanning around perhaps on Instagram, on another form of social media. You see someone posting something. You think, oh, I'll get that. That's nice. That's cute. And you just buy it right there on the spot. And because you're not going into stores, you're not holding out a credit card to someone, you're not taking cash out of your wallet, you're not actually even seeing the person deliver these items that you're ordering. It's so easy to make these impulse purchases.
As evidence of that, was it an Australian company that makes these cat tents? It seemed like business has doubled over the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, so one of the people I spoke to in the story, she was Zooming with some college friends, and she's obsessed with her cat. She loves camping, and somehow they got on the conversation of cat tents, and they all found this website, and the person who I spoke to ended up ordering it. No one believed her. She kind of just went ahead and did it sight unseen. And yeah, they're exactly what they sound like, a tent for a cat.
So there, I'm chuckling about it, but there are some dangers here to these impulse purchases during this type of economy or lockdown.
Definitely. And one of the experts I spoke to, I love this comparison that she made. She compared it to gaining weight over this time. So if you're not exercising as much and maybe eating more, it feels pretty harmless just to gain a pound here or there. But if we come out of this thing and everyone is 20 pounds heavier, it's going to be a lot harder to lose that as opposed to just losing a couple of pounds. The same thing applies with credit card debt. So if you're just buying $100 on garden gnomes, like one of the sources I spoke to did, that's not all that bad. But if you continue to do that and you're just not aware of these purchases you're making, that's going to hurt you in the long run. That's going to make it harder to get a mortgage, apply for a car loan, get a new credit card. So those are the things you have to be aware of.
We're speaking with Elizabeth Buchwald, personal finance reporter at MarketWatch. Her piece is called The Looming Recession That Hasn't Stopped People from Making Crazy Impulse Purchases. How do we prevent falling into this hole? What are some strategies?
It's hard, obviously, because, again, we're at home and we have more time on our hands. But strategies I like to think about is coming back to this in 24 hours. So don't just buy it because it's there and it says only 10 left in stock. You know, think it through the next night. Do I really need that? Am I going to actually use it when this whole thing is over? And you also want to stop yourself from buying based off of social media posts. What they are displaying might be something that they saw someone else displaying.
Yeah.
It's a whole chain reaction. You don't want to just throw money when you could be using it to stock up on goods to get through coronavirus.
All right. Thanks, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Buchwald, reporter at MarketWatch. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. We all know that planning for your financial future in times of uncertainty can be challenging, but there's never been a more important time to get control of your personal finances than now. Why not try Quicken? Quicken lets you securely view and maintain your entire financial life from any device. It breaks down your spending automatically, so you can budget smarter and maximize savings. Manage investments and credit cards, track and pay bills, and easily prepare for tax time. Quicken gives you everything you need to review every detail of your finances and evolves with your needs so you can stay on track no matter where you are in life. It's been the most trusted personal finance software for over 30 years.
and it's just getting better. Get the peace of mind and freedom that comes with taking better control of your finances today. Try Quicken risk-free for 30 days and get 25% off when you go to quicken.com/Gordon. That's 30 days risk-free and 25% off when you go to quicken.com/Gordon. Glad you could spend part of your holiday with us. Raise your hand if this is you as a work-from-home employee now. Who knew we'd miss not just our colleagues, but our furniture, too? Beth Titel at the Boston Globe says many people working from home are yearning for the chairs they left behind and have achy backs and necks as evidence. Beth, explain.
It turns out people are really, in addition to missing their colleagues and the place they went downstairs to get lunch at work, they're missing all that ergonomic furniture, because over the past several decades, American companies have spent a lot of money trying to make their employees comfortable. I mean, they want to increase well-being and productivity and also reduce workers' comp claims. So these big global firms are spending, on average, $500,000 per year trying to get their furniture right. And they've bought incredible things. People out there probably know, like, you've got these high-tech chairs that align the spine and maximize airflow and motorized fit-to-stand desks, and these anti-fatigue mats that have patented terrain features and contoured keyboards and wrist-friendly mouses.
Right.
So they filled the offices with those, and then in March, everyone went home to, you know, folding chairs that were scavenged from the attic and low coffee tables where people sitting with their legs crossed underneath and to laptops unwittingly positioned to reflect the sun glare. And, you know, for a while, it was okay enough. It was only temporary. But then the shelter-in-place thing stretched on again, and now we're on like a week a gazillion. And it turns out that the American Occupational Therapy Association's members have been getting so many calls because people are so uncomfortable. They actually created a quarantine-focused home office ergonomic tip sheet, which has a lot of things. Among the other things, they said, use a footrest if your feet don't rest comfortably on the floor. Towel rolls work well for lumbar support for your back.
Yeah, I was going to say, how about that guy? Didn't he drive like an hour and 20 minutes just to go fetch his chair from school? He's like, hey, he called the maintenance guy. He's like, I'm desperate.
That was my favorite story. Okay, so this guy is the director of finance and operations for a regional school district, and he lives on Cape Cod. And it was 2 weeks into the work-from-home mandate that he finally snapped. He just said, forget this, because he had been sitting hunched over a laptop at a folding table. So, right, he calls the facilities manager, and he says, I need to get a few things. And then, so on a chilly March morning, he gets in his SUV. He drives, as you said, an hour and 20 minutes from his home to the school, unlocks the rear entrance to this middle school, walks through this dark hallway, grabs the chair, rolls it out, and takes it home. So, you know, he said he used to take it for granted, but no more.
It's serious drama to secure your favorite chair from work, for sure. Thanks, Beth. Beth Titel, reporter at the Boston Globe. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell Technologies has special business savings right now to help you office everywhere and stay productive. Save up to 45% on desktops, laptops, and do-it-all servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10 and save on essential electronics. All with free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL for a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the right tech. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Thanks for being with us. Memorial Day has traditionally been a day filled with parades, flag ceremonies, and other gatherings to honor veterans. But as the coronavirus pandemic forces people to stay out of crowds, this year could look different. The Miami Herald has provided some examples. In some communities, virtual ceremonies will take place. Several veterans groups plan to hold a virtual commemoration to honor those who serve. The Department of Veterans Affairs says live streams, videos, and photos from all ceremonies will be shared on the National Cemetery Administration's social media accounts. The Boy Scouts of America also planning to honor veterans digitally. A news release says scouts across the country will be posting public digital tributes to veterans through the Veterans Legacy Memorial. Other Memorial Day traditions, such as running in races, will also look different this year. 10K and 5K races will be held virtually. Racers time their run using a GPS device and report it on social media. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.